Brian Windhorst and the Hoop Collective is presented by YouTube TV. Try it free today at youtube.com/NBA23. New users only. Terms apply. Cancel anytime. Hello, welcome to the Hoop Collective podcast. We talk about the NBA, which we're doing just before midnight on Friday night. I want to apologize for the audio quality of the podcast that we posted today. It was Brian's fault, my fault. Hopefully we have a fix that makes it slightly better, but I don't know what to tell you. Joining me from New York City, we spent all day today in the studios here covering the first day of free agency, is Tim Bontemps.
I think the audio genuinely sounds worse today than yesterday, so we're off to a great start.
You're not going to hear it because I'm recording it locally here. You're not going to hear it how it's going to come on the pod.
Well, it's going to be worse for me then, which is delightful. So there we go.
Well, you're tired of listening to me anyway. Joining us from Dallas, Texas, where Kyrie Irving will be spending the next 2+1 years, is Ben McMahon.
Where his contract is for the next 2+1 years. Howdy, partners.
Right. So I don't want to talk about James Harden. I don't want to talk about Dame Lillard. And something happens, we'll talk about him. Is that okay with everybody?
Deal. Let's.
We've discussed plenty, and we've laid out what could happen, and we'll see what does happen.
All right. Let's talk about what went down in Texas on the first day of free agency. Specifically, let's start with the Houston Rockets making the biggest move, really, in all honesty, giving Fred VanVleet a 3-year max, $130 million. Look, this is a team, McMahon, that has damaged his reputation the last few years in various ways. We don't need to go over the old ground. They bought their way out of it with Fred VanVleet and getting a guy who they obviously prioritize. They prioritize him over Harden. They prioritize him over Kyrie and anybody else with their 60-some million dollars and got themselves Fred VanVleet. I don't know if it's going to turn around the franchise, but it's a big moment for a fell stone. It's a big moment for what they need to try to pivot. And to me, it's one of the big stories of the beginning of free agency.
Yeah, I mean, look, Fred VanVleet, $130 million over 3 years is a lot of money for Fred VanVleet. I mean, it was a year ago that the Mavericks were drawing the line at, quote, Fred VanVleet money for Jalen Brunson, and that was $21 million a year. He's doubling that, more than doubling that on this deal. And obviously, it's been a rough few years for the Rockets since the Harden trade, total rebuild. They have collected numerous top five picks, as well as, you know, a Perrin Sengun and some other young players. But they desperately needed a grown man leader in that locker room. They feel like Fred VanVleet is that guy. They desperately needed somebody to help Ime Udoka completely reset the culture of that franchise. And look, they love James Harden in Houston, but they came to the realization of, if James Harden is the guy who is setting the tone for the culture of that franchise, it's not the culture that they want. They've lived that, right? His number 13 will hang in the rafters for what he did there, but he is not the guy that they want. Jalen Green and Amen Thompson and you know, Jabari Smith Jr. on down the line, they don't want them following in the footsteps of James Harden, you know, in part because where those footsteps tend to end up in the wee hours of the morning. Fred VanVleet, they want him to set the tone with Udoka. I'm not going to sit here and pretend like he is a perfect basketball player at you know, a shade shy of 6 feet, shot less than 40% from the floor last year. You know, obviously there's flaws, but he is a point guard who is capable of running the team, is a hard-nosed player, is a total pro. And, you know, they feel like he can help them reestablish relevancy and develop the you know, talented kids that they need to develop on the roster.
Look, I think this is a perfect signing for the Rockets. And honestly, I don't really care that they had to do a max to do it because they had to spend money this summer to get up to the floor anyway. They had a gazillion dollars in cap space. And if they didn't get this Fred VanVleet deal done, then you're turning around and like, all right, we got $60 million in space. And what are we doing with it? Right. And that's when chaos starts to happen and you make scramble moves and things don't go well. Like, to me, They signed one of the best players available, and they signed literally the perfect guy for their team. They have all these young players. They haven't really had any sort of semblance of organization on the court. Fred VanVleet is one of the best culture setters in the league. He's an A++ locker room guy. He, you know, he's Mr. Bet on Yourself. He's literally grinded his way into making hundreds of millions of dollars now. He's now set multiple records for highest contracts for an undrafted player in the history of the league. Like, this is the kind of guy that you want to be showing Jalen Green and Jabari Smith and Amen Thompson and Alperen Şengün how to be elite pros and how to do the job the right way and to get those guys the ball in positions to succeed. So I love this deal for the Rockets a lot. And again, like, yeah, they went to 3 years, but look, it's a 3-year deal. It's not a 5-year deal. You're getting Fred in his prime years. Even if it's not exactly playing up to that deal in 2 years, you've got a very large expiring contract you can do stuff with. It's not like this is some 7-year contract that you're looking at that's going to be some sort of mess down the road. Like, I don't really see very many downsides of this at all. And I think it's the perfect kind of move for a young team that's trying to move in the right direction. And they still got now a ton of money to maybe go sign a certain center from Milwaukee, which would have a lot of ramifications if they wind up getting Brook Lopez on their team, both for where Houston's trying to go and obviously what that would mean for the Bucks if they don't bring their starting center back to what they hope is a championship level team.
All right, we'll start right there. Look, we're doing this at midnight. I'm not sure what's going to happen with Brook Lopez between now and the morning. And you might say to yourself, well, there was $1.3 billion spent or whatever, and why are you focused on somebody who didn't sign? Well, I think Brook Lopez is a big factor still out there on the market. And Bontemps, we talked about this earlier, and you have a good feel for it, and so explain why.
Look, I think that you can make an argument that if Brook Lopez signs with the Houston Rockets, it's the single most important thing that happens this entire summer. And to me, that's even including Dame Lillard and James Harden trades.
I disagree with that, but it's interesting.
I'm not saying that's it's necessarily true, but here's why it's got the potential to be true. Because Giannis Antetokounmpo goes from off the chessboard to on the chessboard. And that is the kind of piece, like we talked on the pod yesterday. I mean, McMahon was talking like, you, if you're the Knicks or the Nets or these teams that have a lot of draft picks, right now you're like, oh, there's not a guy to trade all the draft picks for. Well, you know who's the guy to trade all the draft picks for? Giannis Antetokounmpo. And I'm not saying that Giannis is going to get traded on Wednesday if Brook signs with the Rockets on Saturday. I'm not saying that. They still have Bobby Portis. They signed Chris Middleton today. They've got Jrue Holiday. They've got Giannis. They've got a really good team. Adrian Griffin, I think, has got a chance to be a really good coach. But if Brook Lopez isn't back, you start to question, are the Bucks a championship-level team? And Giannis Antetokounmpo wants to compete for championships. He wants to have a chance to win a title every year. And if Brook Lopez isn't there, the Bucks aren't that level team. And that's going to immediately start questions about where the future is with the Bucks. So,
well, he can sign a contract extension in September. He has 2 years left. It's not super worrying time. But if he doesn't sign it, it's not good.
And I would call it super worrying time if you've got 2 years left with him under contract and you lose a very good starting center, one of the best defensive centers in the league, who's also a really good 3-point shooter, sort of a truly perfect fit next to Giannis, and you don't have any way to replace him if you're the Bucks, and you've got Jrue Holiday, who's then a year away from free agency, and all of a sudden you could be looking at a really rough situation. Like, that's why this is such a pivotal thing for me. Look, Brook Lopez might resign, and then the Bucks are fine. And you could argue they're the championship favorites next year. Like, that's how big of a swing that is, if he's on the team or not. That's why I think this is such a vital thing. And for all the noise about all these other guys that are more high profile and people pay more attention to the Brook Lopez, this Brook Lopez decision, it's got the potential to have some pretty massive ramifications.
I would also say 2 years in today's NBA means that the player's got leverage if he's looking to force a move. And if you don't believe me, ask the team that just signed Fred VanVleet, because they've lived that with James Harden in the not too distant past. But I don't think it would be an immediate thing. I agree, though. It's like, hey, you're on the clock. Tick, tick, tick. You know, add them to Hey, so still potentially Dallas. I mean, which we've talked about the 2-year thing with Luka. It'd be 2 years next summer. And then the one reason I'm going to disagree with you on Lopez being maybe the most impactful, thing that happens in this transaction period is because the other guy who would be worth throwing all your chips in, we've talked about being Embiid. I know we're not going to touch on the Harden situation, but that's we have discussed that, and that's why I feel like there's so much pressure on Daryl to successfully recover from that curveball.
Well, real quick, let's talk about the other side of the Fred VanVleet trade, or the Fred VanVleet signing, which is the Raptors losing him. Look, the Raptors having to beat that offer, that's a hard pill to swallow, but they weren't able to get him extended last year. They did not trade him at the trade deadline, and they are going to lose him for nothing. I suppose it's possible they could do a sign and trade, but they're not getting, value back. And it's not like if they generate a trade exception that they're going to find another Fred VanVleet. And they went out and signed Dennis Schroeder a couple of moments after they found out that they lost Fred VanVleet. And with all due respect to Dennis Schroeder, that is not a replacement. And so the reason that the Raptors are relevant in this case is because you say, well, what's going to happen to their team? Well, in this first day of free agency, they spent $80 million on Jakob Poeltl. You spent $80 million on a center who's your fourth best player at best. You're indicating that you're still going for it, that you're still trying to be competitive. And then you have your emotional team leader and your point guard walk out the door. And so, the Raptors have committed themselves to kind of stay in the course here if they're going to follow through with this spending. I don't know where they go from here. And they've been a mystifying team for a year or two now.
Yeah.
And they're paying the price for not, having their planning and their strategy tightened down.
Well,
go ahead, Tim.
I was going to say, I agree with your point that Schroeder is not a quote-unquote, he's not filling Fred VanVleet's shoes, but the fact that they went out and I know $13 million per year is not what it used to be, but still made a significant financial commitment to get a guy who can start at point guard immediately after losing Fred VanVleet. That was a pretty clear signal that this is not going to be a, hey, hit reset and blow this thing up, which as soon as VanVleet deal was done with the Rockets, then you wonder, okay, hey, are they going to shop Anunoby? Are they going to shop Siakam? The fact they went out and said, no, we paid Poeltl. We've got a guy who can come in and start at point guard. That to me is an indication that the reset route is not the plan.
No, I think the reset route's definitely not the plan. It hasn't been the plan really the entire time Masai Ujiri has been in charge of the Raptors. But, I mean, look, you got to just go over the past several years. Raptors have had a lot of talent go out the door with not a lot coming back. Marc Gasol, they lost for nothing. Serge Ibaka, they lost for nothing. Obviously, Kawhi, they lost for nothing, but that's different. They won the title. But ever since they won that title, those guys left for nothing. Their pro personnel signings have not gone great. Otto Porter this past year basically didn't play. Pat McCaw, Stanley Johnson, and some of them in the past, they didn't work out. They could have traded Kyle Lowry during the season. They didn't. They ended up turning him into Precious Achiuwa and Goran Dragic. Goran never really played for them. They traded a top six protected first round pick in next year's draft for Jakob Poeltl. And then they had to pay him, to your point, Brian, that I would say, I mean, Jakob's a good player. I think they probably had to overpay him a little bit to make sure they kept him on the team. Sitting here right now, I don't think the Raptors are one of the 8 best teams in the East. I think they're fighting to be in the play-in tournament. And I think there's a chance they don't even make the play-in tournament with this team. Mm-hmm. Like that's with all these guys, with a first-year head coach. Darko could be a good coach. I don't know, but like we haven't seen him do it yet. And they, Fred VanVleet is, I think, far better than Dennis Schroeder, who's generally not been very good over the course of his career. I don't think that's a great, like turning around and giving him the mid-level, I don't think is a panacea in this situation. And look, maybe Scotty Barnes takes a huge leap. They work things around. I think they're going to extend Gary Trent Jr. Like they're clearly committing to pay for this group and to keep this group together. And Masai Ujiri did not think Nick Nurse was getting this team to where he wanted to go, went and hired a new coach. Now they lose Fred VanVleet. I don't know. It's going to be really interesting to see what happens in Toronto, because they clearly have bet that there's a lot more potential than what this team showed the last couple of years when they lost in the first round and then lost in the play-in tournament. And now they lost their leader. So I don't know. It's dark times, I think, for the Raptors at the moment.
Well, they still have a really good young player in Scotty Barnes. So that is what you kind of lean into, and that's what they should lean into, even though he didn't have the greatest sophomore season. Obviously, he's got a lot going for him.
More Hoop Collective podcast after this.
You can now stream the most MLB games on DirecTV without a satellite dish. Yes, catch the clutch hits, strikeouts, grand salamis, web gems with nothing on your roof. So who's ever up there, whether it's the roofers, Santa, birds, old-timey chimney sweeps, moody teenagers, thrill-seeking raccoons, you name it, they won't find a satellite dish. But you will find your MLB games on DirecTV. That means DirecTV is your home for baseball this season. Root, root, root with nothing on your roof. Yes, stream your team. Call 1-800-DIRECTV or visit DirecTV.com. Sign up today. Claim based on total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package. If only starting your fitness journey was as easy as starting this podcast. The truth is, all the lift big, get big, and beach body ready in 3 weeks pressure stops most of us from even starting. And starting is what matters most. It's everything. Wherever you're beginning and wherever you want to be, Peloton encourages you to just start. With thousands of classes to get you moving and doing what you can, even if that's just a 10-minute low-impact class, they have those too. And when you're ready, take it up a gear with a 30-minute live DJ ride. Start with Peloton and find instructors that will keep you motivated to stay on your fitness journey. Learn the basics and build from there. Remember, doing something is everything. Get started with a Peloton bike or bike plus rental at onepeloton.com/bike/rentals. Terms apply.
All right, so McMahon, your big story today. The other big thing that happened in Texas, Kyrie Irving back to the Mavericks. I don't know what to say about these alleged meetings that were being set up. I mean,
listen, a lot of sound and fury signifying nothing.
Oh my God. How about that quote, Bontemps?
Yeah. That's a Wild Bill quote.
Oh yeah. Yeah. This guy. Shit.
Yeah. No, but like, it's not like the quote unquote meetings that were being set up created leverage, because the Mavericks looked at that and been, you know, they did the same thing everybody else did. So you're going to sign for the minimum with the Suns. So you're going to take the mid level from somebody. We're offering, you know, we're ready to offer this guy 40 plus mil a year. You know, the one, if they didn't get the deal done and VanVleet decided, I'm staying in Toronto, the Rockets would have considered Kyrie as a contingency plan. And I said considered. It certainly wasn't like a, hey, if VanVleet doesn't get done, they're definitely going to put the offer on the table, because, yeah, obviously they think he's a tremendous talent. They think James Harden's a tremendous talent. The same reason.
Well, at least in that case, he could have, you know, really had some plausible leverage.
Right. That was the only
meeting with the Suns and Lakers or whatever. That's not plausible leverage.
Right. But the Mavericks were all along. They're like, hey, he's priority number one for us. We're going to be fine there. We're going to get this done. We're going to do it, you know, in a respectful manner, hopefully able to protect their mid-level. They did sign him at a number to where they could do that. You know, a deal that they didn't have to make a 5-year commitment, even a 4-year commitment. You know, the trade-off is he gets the player option. You know, they're keeping him and Luka together, hoping it goes better. Now, the one thing I'll say about the Mavericks is we'll see what happens with this mid-level, but like the whole hope to get Bruce Brown, whew, the Pacers blew that hope out the water by giving them double the mid-level almost. And so, you know, their hope of being able to really improve the defensive.
By the way, real quick, Bruce Brown is a better player than what I'm about to say. Okay. Mm-hmm. But it reminds me of like after the Cavs won the title in 2016, Mozgov got $50 million and Matthew Dellavedova got like $40 million.
Right.
You know, they were champions and they really helped out, but they were kind of big players.
I'll be interested to see. I know this was a big aside. I'll be interested to see if Bruce Brown sees the second year of that deal, personally.
Is there an option on it?
There's a team option on the second year.
I didn't realize there was a team option on that. Yeah, hey, that's interesting. You know what?
Hey, either
he
way,
very,
it's more. It's
very
either,
good last year.
Either way, it's a great deal for him. I mean, he gets $23 million guaranteed.
He had several teams that would have eagerly given him the full mid-level, and I believe whether he sees the second year of that deal, you know, if he doesn't, I think there's going to be several teams willing to give him full mid-level.
Oh yeah, no question.
But back to the Mavericks, you know, the hope was obviously a keep Kyrie, because as bad as the record was. Like, those guys cook offensively, and Luka looks like he's in really, really good shape right now. If he's in good shape, they're really going to cook offensively. Can they guard anybody is the question. And at some point, Derek Lively's probably going to be a really, really good defensive center. You can't expect a teenage rookie to stay on the floor without fouling, much less to fix all those things this season. This Omax Prosper guy. He's a little bit of an older rookie. They need him to help because they are really small on the wing. And again, we'll see what happens. They've got a pretty glaring need there. Seth Curry, a biannual exception, nice addition. He helps with your shooting. He's, you know, that doesn't solve the whole defensive problem. So certainly keeping Kyrie, you know, it means this summer's not a mess for the Mavericks, but they've got some work left to do to be any sort of a threat in the West for sure.
Well, Kyrie was pretty proud of getting this deal. He very much congratulated his agent, his stepmother, Shetelia, Riley Irving. He congratulated his father, Dred Irving. He did talk some trash to some people on Twitter. And look, man, Kyrie has left a ton of money on the table the last 2 years. And, like, if you think about what he's lost, it would be a little sickening. But listen, you sign a $126 million contract, regardless of whether it was your maximum value that you could have gotten, you have the right to talk your talk. And Kyrie was beating that chest a little bit.
And you did it without another team bidding against the Mavericks. And you can say the Mavericks bid against themselves. But they realized, hey, keeping Kyrie, part of the deal is you have to make sure you can keep you're doing everything you can to keep him happy, to maintain your relationship, because the obvious reasons, we, you know, everybody understands the track record. And so the Mavericks knew, hey, whether there's another team in the bidding or not, we're going to have to pay him a lot of money. They're happy that a lot of money still gave them a little bit of flexibility as far as being able to add to the roster.
Look, this is a desperation move when they made it in February. This is a desperation contract because they're a desperate team.
He's baiting us.
No, this is just
back then we didn't like it was called desperation.
It's just the facts. The facts are it was a desperation trade. This is a desperation contract, and the Mavericks are a desperate team. And They've put themselves in this position where, to your point, McMahon, they have to keep Kyrie Irving happy because this is their one path to having a contending team in the short term with Luka on the roster before he has to make a decision about whether he wants to be there long term. So they have to take it on the chin and deal with Kyrie and hope that they could be the team to make this work. Do I think that's going to happen? No, I think this is going to end in an inferno like it does every time Kyrie is involved in anything, because that's been his track record now. Going on, 6 years? Basically been an inferno every year. So maybe this will be different. Maybe he'll be, you know, maybe he'll look around and have seen nobody else was really interested in him and Dallas was interested in him, and he'll be bought in because he is a really talented player. And in theory, him and Luka should be a fit. And they did have a good draft. I did like the Seth Curry pickup. They've got a chance to be a decent squad, but let's see how the season goes, and let's see if Kyrie's still on board in January. Maybe he will be. Maybe he won't.
Well, look, they got him for less than the max. The 3 years could be a bit of a challenge, but they got him for less than the max, and their mid-level exception is open. and they can still add to the team, and they definitely needed to add to the team. So
look, new general manager, but this is the same organization that gave Kristaps Porzingis a 5-year max offer with the player option when he was coming off of an ACL and never played a second for them. So honestly, the fact that it's a 3-year deal when it could have been 5, I would say that is a major progress for the Mavericks in terms of restraint.
So the Lakers were relatively active on day one. They re-signed Rui Hachimura 4 years, $17 million a year. Could have been worse. I see people like congratulating them on a terrific deal.
Well,
there.
Listen, the Lakers reunited the Heatles today. I don't know if y'all are aware, but the Heatles have returned, and they've gone back in time, and we've got 25-year-old LeBron on the Lakers again. Dwayne Wade brought him out of time, put him on the Lakers. Chris Bosh brought out of time, put on the Lakers. Actually went, got back Agar Carmelo, put him on the Lakers too, got him out of that contract snafu he had back in 2010, got him to have the four of them together this time. It's like championship, baby. That's what I heard today. Lakers going to the chip.
Hey, we can quibble with, did they pay too much for Hachimura? You know, once – I think they probably keep Russell. We can, you know, discuss that number when and if that happens. I'll say this, your top six roster, Wendy, that you've taken a victory lap on?
Several.
They did improve. I like Gabe Vincent. I like Gabe Vincent as a you know, a guy who can start a point guard or come off the bench, you know, is kind of a tough-minded guy, can play off the ball when LeBron's going to have it in his hands. And honestly, Torian Prince is a guy I like him too. Shoots in the high 30s from three, you know, forward with some size and some athleticism. I'm not going to sit here and tell you, you know, raise another banner at the old, you know, the arena formerly known as Staples, but I thought the Lakers did have a pretty good day.
Well, Torian Prince was reasonable value at $4.5 million on their biannual exception. That was reasonable value. He's not going to carry anybody over the top, but he can help them win some games. Gabe Vincent was in some demand. I heard him attached to 3 or 4 different teams. That's why they had to give him the whole mid-level, is my guess. The Heat made him an offer that was less than that. He can start. He's not necessarily an 82-game starter that you want, but he obviously proved in Miami that he could. He was very big in several of the playoff rounds. He sprained his ankle midway through the playoffs, and he never was quite the same player. But Rob Pelinka has had some hits on some lower-level free agent signings. But I'm going to say two things about where the Lakers are. They don't have Austin Reeves under contract yet. And while he'll be back there, it is fair to say that the San Antonio Spurs still have cap space. The two teams with cap space, as we do this after midnight on Friday night, Saturday morning, the Rockets still have over $20 million in cap space that they're kicking around on whether to see if they can get Brook Lopez or maybe Dylan Brooks is an option there. And the other team that has cap space is the San Antonio Spurs. A bunch of teams, the Pistons made 2 trades on Friday to use their cap space without signing a player. They acquired Monte Morris from the Wizards basically for nothing for a second round pick.
Yeah.
And they acquired Joe Harris where they got Joe Harris and 2 second round picks from the Nets. And that was an interesting strategic move because I think the Pistons were mulling over making an offer to Cameron Johnson, who has a huge fan in Detroit in Coach Monty Williams. Well, we were together in Phoenix, and there was a thought that the Pistons could have used their 25-plus million to try to go after Cam Johnson, an offer sheet, and pressure the Nets. Well, the Nets took care of that when they gave them Joe Harris essentially for free. They had to pay
Johnson $108 million.
Right, and then the Nets got Cam Johnson to come to terms on a 4 years, $108 million for him. And then they got Monty Morris for free. I think they got him for second round pick.
By the way, so, congratulations to Cam Johnson. You talk about a guy who bet on himself. Wendy, you've noted that the Suns offer was, you know, in that $65 million range last year.
It was a little bit more than 65, but I think it was under 70, and he got 108. Maybe it's not all 108 guaranteed, but let's say it's at least 100. Mm-hmm. And so it was a, you know, and he had knee surgery during the year. So he was a big winner for sure. You know, Detroit used their cap space that way. Oklahoma City made two trades to use cap space without signing anybody. They took in Davis Bertans on draft night, as you remember. And then late on Friday night, they took in Victor Oladipo from the Heat to help the Heat clean up their books a little bit. The Utah Jazz used the majority of their cap space on John Collins. So the team out there that still has cap space other than the Rockets – we have it sort of tabbed for somebody is the Spurs. And so I don't know if the Spurs, you know, Grant Williams is a restricted free agent who's still out there as we do this podcast. Maybe they look at him and Austin Reeves. They could put an offer sheet down that has some poison pills in it. They could make the Lakers gulp. You know, so Austin Reeves is not settled. We'll see. I would bet high percentage that he's back with the Lakers. The terms are going to be what's still up in the air. They also have D'Angelo Russell that they have to make a decision on whether or not they're going to re-sign him or not. So, I mean, they have a couple other free agents too, including Lonnie Walker, the fourth, but, Russell and Reeves are the two interesting ones. And to me, those are two ones you got to get right if you're the Lakers, because you can't overpay D'Angelo Russell. So you can congratulate them on Gabe Vincent. You can congratulate them on Torian Prince. If you like the Hachimura contract, fine. But Rob Pelinka is still working very hard.
I would say you can't overpay D'Angelo Russell and you can't lose Austin Reeves, right? And, yes, the Spurs can make it more painful financially on the Austin Reeves front. But, listen, when you've got LeBron going into year 21 but still playing at an all-NBA level, when you've got Anthony Davis still playing – at certainly an all-star, if not an all-NBA level. You just went to the West Finals. Austin Reeves looked like a high-quality starter, a guy who was the third-best player on your team that went to the West Finals. You just cannot let him walk, even if the Spurs put some deal on the table. It's just like, oh, you can't. Now, there's no downside in the Spurs. You know, either you're going to get a really nice young player who would fit well with your group of this phenom and some other really nice young players. You don't. Boy, I tell you what, though, for that, Monty Morris really would have made a lot of sense for the Spurs. They did get Trey Jones back at a very reasonable number. They can certainly say, hey, you showed some promise last year as a starter on a tanking team. Let's see what you can, you know, let's see if you can continue that development in a starting role, give him a chance to kind of seize that going forward. Man, Monty Morris would have made a lot of sense as a guy who could have kind of taken the lead there with Trey Jones as his backup. But they didn't go there. Obviously, if it's not Austin Reeves, so maybe Grant Williams, I still think probably most likely for the Spurs is they do some kind of, you know, rent some space type of moves, like you mentioned, the Thunder and the
maybe
Pistons
done.
Well, we've seen $65 million already parked by teams getting out of contracts in this free agency, which is a lot of money that didn't go to players who were going to be free agents, which is part of why we've seen a lot of guys be hung up in the market. I mean, I was kidding a little bit before with, you know, some of the way that we've seen people talking about the Lakers signings today. I will say, I don't really see why anybody who is thinking the Lakers are as you said, McMahon, the goal is to win a championship with LeBron, right? You're yes. Down here at the end. I don't see why anybody would look at today and think the Lakers are closer to winning a championship than they were yesterday. Gabe Vincent had a really nice playoffs. He also was a big part of why the Heat were an 8 seed this year. He did not have a very good regular season. He's a career below 40% career 40% overall shooter from the field. He's a career 33.9% three-point shooter. Rui Hachimura had the best 2 months of his life And up until then, I'm not sure would have gotten more than maybe the minimum. And now he just signed for $50 million. Now maybe he'll do that. If he plays like he did in the playoffs all next season, that will look fine. If he shoots 30% from three again, like he has throughout his career, that's probably not going to look great.
Yeah, they did just commit 80-something million to two guys who had, like, major spikes as three-point shooters.
Yeah, and just in general, if you look at this Laker team, like, they were not very close to beating Denver in the playoffs, right? And you could say Bruce Brown leaving. Like, and by the way, well, full stop. The strangest thing that happened today was this Reggie Jackson contract. Reggie Jackson signed it for the tax mid-level with a player option for the second year. When he was unplayable in the playoffs,
2 years, $10 million.
Just very strange. I don't really know what Denver was doing with that. I got to think they could have gotten somebody better than Reggie Jackson for where their team is at. But anyway,
that was interesting. But you said they weren't competitive against the Nuggets. Wendy gave them a bronze broom, competitive sweep in NBA history. So
he sure did.
Be respectful there.
That's true. But look,
that,
I just
that.
I
by just, the way, real quick, a bronze broom is a fantastic line. My compliments.
It is a very good line. Hold on,
boss. I got criticized heavily. Well, everybody at ESPN was getting criticized. Some people correctly for their Nuggets takes leading up to that.
Yes,
that was a compliment to the Nuggets. I was complimenting the Nuggets.
We don't need to relitigate that.
I know. I'm just saying that.
Perhaps the champagne has eased the sensitivity of the
I'm sure it has. I'm just saying, since you brought it up.
It's a very agitated fan base because they can't even watch their team on TV. Blame them.
No problem. I mean, I'm just saying. It was a compliment to the Nuggets. Go ahead, Bontemps. Sorry.
Ultimately, the Lakers signed Torian Prince, who the Wolves cut yesterday. They signed Cam Reddish, who stinks. Gabe Vincent and Rui Hachimura, if they play like they did in the playoffs all next season, they'll be very positive additions.
Cam Reddish got a player option on the second year.
Did he really?
That's what I saw.
I didn't know that. Hold on, is that in Bobby Sheet? Holy wow, that is wild.
Who's he?
Didn't know that. Well, you could say that one.
Hey,
I just
all had one hell of a night once again. It tends to happen every year. Opening a free agency.
He sure did. Look, the Lakers have a very solid team. They did make nice moves at the deadline to get deeper. They've now built a reasonable facsimile of the team they had before the Russell Westbrook trade.
Yeah.
Is Gabe Vincent better than Dennis Schroeder?
A little bit.
I could definitely see them saying, hey, he's a better fit. We need some, toughness. You know, we need, I think Prince gives him, I like Prince and I like Vincent for him.
I think they're fine.
Depth additions and a team that just went to the Western Conference Finals that made two, what I'm going to call rotation upgrades. Hey, they're going to be a factor next year if their stars stay healthy.
Yeah. I don't know. They might. I just think they made some bet. They're betting really high on those two guys, right? Like Rui and Gabe Vincent in particular.
There's a lot of teams that would. Oh, I thought you were talking about those two. I thought you were talking about LeBron and AD.
No. I'm talking like they used their full mid level on Gabe Vincent, right? Like that's a high bet. The Heat offered him a deal. It wasn't that much. And then they turned around and signed Josh Richardson for the minimum.
It wasn't quite full, but close to it. But look, they were among the list of teams with the Mavericks and others that would have loved to use their full mid-level on Bruce Brown. And then the Pistons backed up like three Brinks trucks. Pacers, rather.
Yeah.
More Hoop Collective podcast after this.
Vivid Seats wants you to get to the games you love this spring. Experience every pitch, assist, and game-winning shot live and in person. And the best part? Each transaction is a step toward a free 11th ticket with Vivid Seat Rewards. Score unbeatable perks like free tickets, surprise seat upgrades, and annual birthday deals. As official ticketing partner of ESPN, Vivid Seats is offering you $20 off your first $200 ticket purchase with code HOOP. That's code HOOP, H-O-O-P. Visit VividSeats.com or download the app today. Vivid Seats, experience it live. For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facilities safe and your people safer. Call or click Grainger.com or just stop by.
By the way, the Pacers, while we were doing this podcast, Tyrese Halliburton agreed to a 5-year max contract. Can be worth up to 260
if he hits potential supermax.
Yeah, if he hits what he can. And while we're saying that, Desmond Bane with the Grizzlies, I'm not even saying the listeners may know all about this, but I'm more telling you guys.
Right.
Desmond Bane agreed to a 5 years, $207 million contract, which is a max. I don't know if he has the Rose provision, but we'll find out later. But just so you know, that happened tonight.
Yeah, I'm guessing. I'm guessing that Bane does not have supermax capability in his. But hey, $207 million for a guy who was the last pick of the first round.
He has earned it. He has earned that contract.
Hey, absolutely. And you know, honestly.
Also, real quick, Tyrese Halliburton tweeted out Ted DiBiase meme from WWE from my childhood. Listen, and
the million dollar man Ted DiBiase could be used in a lot of things with the way today has gone from a money standpoint.
And again, I said, Kyrie, talk your talk when you signed for 126. Mr. Halliburton, talk your talk.
That's pretty good. He's a pretty good player.
Tyrese. He can go Macho Man Randy Savage after that contract, maybe. Was Macho Man with who had the snake, that whole act, right?
No, that was Jake the Snake Roberts who had the snake.
Oh, duh. That's right. Makes sense. Honestly, though, the Halliburton, like, I don't see how the Pacers could have come with anything less than that. I think
shouldn't come with anything less than that. I mean, we're doing a top 25 players under 25 list in July, and I had him either second or third on my list in the whole league. Like he's awesome. That's a no brainer for me.
It is an aggressive, you know, here's the thing. The Pacers had over $30 million in cap space. Mm-hmm. And they were believed that a team that was really interested in Max Strus. And Bruce Brown and Max Strus, I mean, they could have given Bruce Brown over a $10 million pay raise and still had, you know, $15, $16 million left to get Max Strus. And the bidding for Bruce Brown was so intense and to get him, you know, to Indiana, which is not known for, you know, landing significant free agents. And Bruce Brown is a role player, but he's a significant free agent because so many teams wanted him. They basically closed the door on.
By the way, just one little interesting thing about the Pacers. So not the first time we've probably said that in a while on the pod. so they obviously have just given Tyrese Halliburton the bag, right? But next summer, when Tyrese goes into that contract, they currently have 5 players under contract, and they're going to have a ton of cap space again, potentially. Like, they've got the ability with Miles Turner, with Tyrese Halliburton, who's becoming a star, to potentially go out and try to get. I mean, I haven't looked ahead to see who's available next summer. Like, we're not even through this summer yet. Sure. We can draft. There you go. We could start the thing now. Pacers draft. Draft Bronny and then have LeBron come to the Midwest.
Please don't.
There it is.
Oh my God. I can't do this.
There it is. But my point is, it's just just looking at their books,
you know,
now
with
Bobby Marks' sheets. It's just interesting to see.
By the way, please don't aggregate. Bomb Timps is kidding about that. Don't aggregate.
I am kidding about Bronny and LeBron. I didn't think I had to be kidding about them going to the Pacers, but sure.
Or say I was kidding. Bomb Timps and I were in the studio all day the last couple of days. Like, if we tried to come do a Pacers topic, if we were like, hey, let's do a topic on the Pacers.
You know how we could talk about the Pacers? Oh. I could say, here's how the Pacers are going to get LeBron James.
That's right.
Like, oh, here we go.
That's right.
The other way.
right out to the A block.
on the anniversary of those, you know, finger guns, Wendy, you can say, hey, I've got a meme in the making. We got to talk about the Pacers, though. Wendy's got another meme. Wendy's got another meme. Oh, listen, boy,
Brian could do whatever he wants. Like, hey, I'm going to talk about whatever. That's all sure. Here we go.
Every time I turned on TV today, it was a celebration of the anniversary.
Oh, it was unbelievable. Unbelievable.
I had nothing to do with it.
Just being feted. Just being feted all day. All day.
Gold, baby.
That's one way to put it. Anyway, so the majority of the business in the league got done. You know, we have the Dame Lillard and James Harden thing out there. But for the most part, we saw guys go back to their teams. And I just want to run through some deals here. Chris Middleton, 3 years and 95 million?
I think it was 102.
Oh, 102, right. I thought it was going to be 95.
Yeah, I think it was 102.
He took about seven or eight, it depends on how they structure it, but he took about a $7 or $8 million pay cut from what he opted out of a couple of weeks ago.
About eight and a half.
Okay, eight and a half. And mm-hmm. that helps them lower their tax bill significantly, and that they keep him. You know, he was obviously disappointing last season because of the injury, but I don't think they had a choice. They pretty much had to pay him.
He was good in the playoffs too.
Well, they were in the playoffs, their playoff run last.
I'm just saying, he looked good. He looked healthy against Miami and was putting up numbers. Is my point.
Yeah, blink and you missed it, but he's really good in the playoffs.
Draymond Green, I don't think there was any drama here, as much as people wanted to create it. Draymond Green,
people wanted to create it.
Look.
I remember a certain person last week going, oh, what's going on in Sacramento?
And I said, what's going on? And we found out the answer was nothing.
Look, there was talk about him going to Portland, which had no cap space.
Well, the Portland thing never made any sense. The Kings actually opened space.
Yes. Yes.
And then they closed.
So, I'm just having a little fun.
I know.
Draymond, very similar situation. It's a 4-year deal for $100 million. But
well, by the way, congrats to Draymond. He got all 4 years guaranteed. I wasn't sure that was going to be the case. $100 million guaranteed. Mazel tov.
Well, right. By the way, yeah, go ahead, Tim.
But no, he opted out, took less this year, which in Warriors world, him taking whatever the number is, $5 million less is, you know, however many million in terms of luxury tax. So that helps. And then the reward is he gets 4 years guaranteed and they get to keep at least that part of the core together, you know, him and Steph. And we'll see how things play out with Clay. I think it's a pretty good chance Clay's there for, you know, I think they're just going to keep those guys together till those guys hang them up, probably.
Well, and by the way, just real quick on to relate this back to James Harden. James Harden, you look at how Draymond Green was handled by the Warriors. The Warriors from the beginning were like, we got to have Draymond Green. Mike Dunleavy was like, we got to have Draymond Green. We got to have him on our team to have a chance Dave to Kerr, win.
We are not a championship contender without him.
They operated like a team that knew their only chance to win was if Draymond Green was on the team. The Sixers did not.
Yeah.
So to your point about the pressure on Daryl Morey, let's see what they do now because they didn't think they had to go through this door. So let's see what happens when they go through the other door, which is where we're at now.
All right, Jeremy Grant pissed it back to the Blazers on 5 years, 160. We'll see if it's all
guaranteed. Talk about Mazel tov. Mazel tov to Rich Paul.
Well, Rich Paul, I think, had a $400 million evening.
He had a $400 million evening from three players, Brian.
I think he also is going to get Gary Trent Jr. a contract extension. I don't know if it's official. He also
I also believe
he got Jordan Clarkson a small contract extension. Anyway, he also has other agents he works with at Clutch. But anyway, 5 years, $160 million. Look, congratulations to Jeremy Grant, two-way player. During this last contract, he sort of had peaks and valleys.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, the Blazers see him as a core part of their future. I don't see how it improves the roster. You know, they're under pressure to improve the roster. It just holds the roster together. But, you know, Bontemps, what do you think about this deal?
I don't know what the Blazers are doing.
Like, I don't know what they're doing. Like, Jeremy Grant, I think Jeremy Grant's one of the more overrated players in the league. If you look at his, if you look across the board, like, yeah, he scores 20 points a game. But he doesn't really rebound. He doesn't create turnovers. He's a solid individual defender, but not great. Like, he's solid. And they just paid him $160 million on a team that is very clearly trending towards having this young group of players that they're building around. I mean, if they come back next year with Dame Lillard and Jeremy Grant and this roster with Jusuf Nurkić and Anfernee Simons and these young guys, they're not going to be in the top 10 in the West again. I just don't know what the point of this was. Like, I guess you could argue maybe that this is an asset contract, but I don't know. That's a lot of years and a lot of money for a guy that's going into his early to mid 30s on this deal. I don't know. Like, I mean, good for Jeremy Grant for getting paid. It's a ton of money, obviously. Like, that's great for him and for his family. But, like, if I'm the Blazers, I just don't know what the point of doing this was.
Is, well, Jeremy Grant a significantly better player than John Collins?
No, I don't think so.
And so John Collins on a smaller deal was just...
Yeah, hold on. Jeremy Grant can defend. John Collins is not known as
Jeremy Grant. Jeremy Grant and John Collins aren't all that different a player, boss.
I mean,
I understand.
John Collins can rebound. You know, hey, I agree with your greater point is clearly they don't want to trade Dame. They won't trade Dame unless Dame asks for it. They knew, hey, if we don't bring back Jeremy Grant, holy crap, it makes that decision easy. They still have work to do to upgrade the roster because, as you noted, this is not an upgrade. This is just, keeping
a guy
starter on a team that ended up tanking.
Well, you guys know how I have my, as soon as you sign a contract, can you trade it? I stick to that, but there's a general manager who I highly respect who said that it really shouldn't be the first year. It should be after the first year. So whatever. I don't think you could trade this contract, but
well, maybe I'm wrong. And honestly, with this new CBA, I don't know if we really have a feel for that now. It's a little bit different now.
That's a great point. It's a great, great point. When you look at where this is at.
How rare is that, McMahon? He just said that to you.
That's not. I say that to McMahon all the time. He makes plenty of smart points. But it's a great point.
To be nice to me in a group chat with our wives, as K-Bond, please. Tell your husband not to be so mean to me all the time.
Yeah.
He's not replied, by the way.
But listen, I would say that I think that's a great point. When you look at where this CBA is going and these big deals like that, I mean, as you mentioned, John Collins is a good example. From the moment he was signed, it was like, oh, they'll trade John Collins for something. And 3 years later, he got dumped for nothing. And maybe they could turn Jeremy Grant into stuff. He has been traded a bunch the past couple of years, but I don't know.
My favorite part of the John Collins salary dump thing is for 3 years they're desperately trying to trade him while saying, oh, no, we really value him. We're not just trying to give him away. and they just gave him away.
Well, listen, actions over words. You guys know how we roll. Kyle Kuzma, 4 years, $102 million to return to the Wizards. We talked about this a couple of times. We didn't see where his options were. If they he had any, they dwindled a little bit, and he ended up staying put. And I would rent, not buy, in Washington. I think this is a contract that, you know, while he had a very good year last year, the best year of his career, and earned a significant contract, I don't know if he's a part of the future of this team. And I think he and Jordan Poole are kind of in the same boat. They're both kind of auditioning for further trade.
One of the main ESPN Twitter accounts had a picture of those two guys in those pretty little, cherry blossom uniforms. And then they said, who's going to take the last shot? My thought is, well, whoever the hell's in during garbage time, because they'll be down like 14 points.
Who's going to take the first shot?
Yeah, exactly. Who will take both shots? That's a fair question. You know, they'll both try.
Bontemps, you have an opinion?
I don't.
Okay.
That's a rarity. That's even more rare than me having a good point.
We spent all these days talking about Kuzma. This sort of seemed like this is how it was going to go.
Pretty anticlimactic.
Yeah.
Especially once the Kings agreed to the deal with Barnes. you know, that and Collins was in Utah, so those two salary slots were taken up, and then it was like, where else is he going to go? Congratulations to him. He got a nice chunk of change, you know, a 9-figure contract from the Wizards.
And who's the Jordan Poole are going to be chucking? That's my take. They're going to be, those guys are going to combine for like 60 shots a game next year.
And the Wizards are probably fine with it. Go for it. And
I'm sure they will be fine with it.
Year one of a rebuild there.
DeAndre Jordan re-signed with the Nuggets. I want to talk about the Cavs real quick before we go. The Cavs needed to upgrade their roster, really needed to add some depth. They signed George Niang to our guy who had joined us during the finals, Bang Bang, George Niang, to a, was a three-year deal? Three-year deal, $26
million. Yep.
And they re-signed Caris LeVert, another guy who, you know, can help them, but I think was a signing that needed to be available for trade later for 2 years and $32 million. And, you know, reportedly they've been working on a sign and trade to get Max Strus on a contract that would pay him 4 years and $16 million a year, $64 million total. Strus was a guy who was highly sought after by a lot of teams looking for role players. He's not Fred VanVleet, to be clear, but he, you know, that deal is not done. So let's just see whether that happens. I don't want to assume anything. But the Cavs, who, you know, I think it should be pointed out, I think the real pressure for Donovan Mitchell is a year from now on terms of their contract. But Donovan does have an option of extending his contract this fall. He has 2 years left, no opt-out. But the Cavs definitely needed to upgrade, and they did. And they're going to need – if they get Strus, I think it will have been a reasonably productive for a top-four seed playoff team, a reasonably productive free agent session.
Yeah, I mean, look, that was arguably the worst position in the league of any of the, like, top 10 or 12 teams. That small forward spot, it killed them in the first round series with the Knicks, and they killed them that they didn't have enough shooting. And George Niang is a terrific shooter, and while if they do end up getting Max done at 16 a year, that could end up being a very shaky contract. He's been very up and down. But for where they're at and the pressure they're on to try to win right now, you add Max Strus, you add George Niang. Those are two pros, can fill in on the wing for them and be knockdown shooters. Given the what the Cavs have asset-wise, that's a pretty nice 1-2 punch for them in free agency if they could pull that off.
I think the third team would have to be most likely be the Spurs.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. The Spurs.
Who knows if the Spurs have anything else up their sleeve in addition to that. So that's something to watch.
But yeah, the Cavs had, I mean, you talk about one of the most glaring needs in the league. It was wing shooting, especially if, and they are, it certainly appears, if they continue to play their too big lineup, like you just, the spacing, they've got to have a guy that demands attention when he's spotted up outside the 3-point line. And you ain't leaving George Niang alone out there, that's for sure.
Nope. And he could play the four. And when you play one of the, you have the time where you have one of those guys on the court, you bring George in, and then you've got a 40% 3-point shooter playing next to one of those guys. Like it, those are two really nice, again, like for where they were at, I think that's about as good as you could realistically have hoped for the Cavs to do in free agency if they could pull this off and get this thing done.
All right, before we go, is there anything you guys that tickled you that we haven't talked about? I know that sounds strange. I'm sorry it's late.
I don't need any midnight tickling from you, Wendy.
I mean, I'll be curious to see what happens with Dante DiVincenzo. Obviously, one of the better players left. You know, certainly there's been a lot of thought about him winding up in New York with his Villanova buddies, Jalen Brunson and Josh Hart, won the national championship with those guys in school, would be a good fit there. I'm curious about that. Obviously, we talked about Brook Lopez. Very curious to see what happens with that. And then, you know, I mean, it's obviously we haven't talked about him on the pod, but I think now that just about everything else is done, we're going to sort of be in a staring contest with the James Harden situation and the Damian Lillard situation, because I think in a lot of ways they're sort of tied together. And the longer that the Portland situation goes unresolved and unchanged,
It's going to put more pressure on Houston, or on Houston. That's a Freudian slip. It's going to put more pressure on Philly to make some progress and find a way to get something done. And I think it's safe to say, in a perfect world, what Philly would like is to be able to time that up to at least have a chance to be in the Dame Lillard business. And if he's just not going anywhere anytime soon, at some point they might have to make a trade while he's still in Portland and then see if they could figure something out later. So, you know, if we get, once the Brooke Lopez thing is off the board, it's sort of really just a couple of restricted free agents for me. And then it's what happens with those two guys.
Well, another one I'm very curious about is Dylan Brooks. And I think that is at least indirectly tied to Brooke Lopez because, you know, the Rockets to get Lopez are probably going to have to go more 20 mil plus per year, essentially most of, if not all, their remaining cap space. It's, you know, been known for a while. There's also strong mutual interest between the Rockets and Dylan Brooks. I'm curious. I don't know where else interest is coming for Dylan Brooks. I do know that he's not for everybody. But I also know that he is, you know, arguably the best wing defender in the league, certainly on a very, very short list.
Well, it's also possible that the Grizzlies might entertain a sign and trade there.
That's true. I think the Grizzlies absolutely would entertain a sign and trade. That, you know, obviously would have to make sense for them and have to benefit them, but that's a good point.
But even if the salary cap space that's out there dries up, it doesn't necessarily mean he's, you know, not going to get something. He might, right. And he defends, so he probably is going to get a decent chance. So we'll see. All right, by the time we pod again by early next week, I think that there will either will be movement on Harden and Lillard, or we're headed for a stalemate. If we don't have something that happens over the weekend with the two of them, it could be a long one. So I will lift the moratorium on that probably the next time we talk. Thank you to Jackson. Thank you to Bunt Thompson McMahon. Thank you for listening and putting up with my microphone issues. I'll be back home in the home studio tomorrow, and we will talk to you soon.
Adios, amigos.
Real quick, what's the easiest choice you can make? Window seat over middle? Taco Tuesday over salad? What about selling with Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/hoop, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/hoop now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/hoop.